If I were to ask for a show of hands how many of you have watched the Antique Roadshow, I'd probably get 100%. Probably all of you have watched it at least at one time or other. Just a reminder as to what it is. The experts, the antique experts, travel around the country and they put on a show in which they invite people to bring in their valuable possessions. At least, they think it's a valuable possession. And we've all seen times when the items that the visitors brought didn't really have much value to them. And it came sometimes as a disappointment to those who brought it, thinking they had a real valuable treasure, and it turned out to have no real value other than maybe some sentimental value to the owner. But every now and then, they brought a real treasure. Something of great value. And the expert would just rave about that item and describing it in detail and its history and background. And I suppose some of us would sit with a little bit of envy wondering if we might have something like that up in our attic or maybe in a trunk or box someplace. A simple, everyday occurrence in our lives resembles what the Lord Jesus used as an illustration of His kingdom. We read the scriptures earlier. I want to read them again because they fit right in with what I just described from the Antique Roadshow. Listen while I read from Matthew 13 again. In verse 44, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man found it, he hideth it, and for joy thereof goeth, and he sells everything he's got, and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it." The treasure hid in a field describes a common everyday practice of people in that day. They didn't have bank vaults like we have. They didn't have safety deposit boxes. They didn't have little private safes that you can hide on your bookshelf that looks like a book and every thief in the world knows it's an imitation book that is a safe that they can just break open real quickly. But we have places where we can hide treasures for safety. In that day, they had no such place to hide their valuables. So they buried them in the ground. They would put them into a jar or a container, and they would go out into their field, and they would dig a hole and bury the box, hoping that they would remember where they placed it. I'm afraid it reminds us a little bit of the squirrels that we see chasing around in the lots out here, taking nuts and burying them. They will never find them. Well, kind of like that, you know, they didn't record where they placed it always. And they sometimes would die without telling their children where they had placed the hidden treasure. And so oftentimes the family would lose a valuable treasure because the family lost the record and they didn't know where it was. And it was not unusual for people to find buried treasure. They would see it perhaps cropping up out of the ground, or maybe a servant working in the field plowing or preparing the soil for planting would find a treasure. The illustration that Jesus used, those people knew well. Jesus used this common everyday practice of his people to describe the kingdom. Then he told him a second parable right after it. This parable was of a merchant man, a wholesaler, if you will, who went about looking for goodly pearls. In that day, pearls had great value, similar to our day. Pearls were a sign of extravagance. women would put them in their hair. And they'd put them on their hands, on rings, necklaces, at great value. And in fact, in the scriptures we read a description of the gates of the coming kingdom of God at its consummation, and the gates are made of pearl, valuable stone. This man made a living of traveling around looking for pearls that he could buy, that he could then sell and make a profit. On this occasion, as Jesus told the story, the merchant found a valuable pearl. I find it interesting that he was the only one who recognized its value. The others who surveyed the inventory of pearls that this man examined, they missed it. He saw it. And he went and he sold everything he had to come back and buy that valuable pearl. There's some common threads that weave through both of these parables. Both of them identify a treasure, a valuable possession that far exceeded everything that they owned. Another common thread through it we find is that in both instances, those who discovered the treasure saw its value, and it caused them and justified in their minds the sale of everything they possessed. They sold everything they owned in order to get the treasure. On the one hand, we find the one who found the treasure, as far as we know, he wasn't looking for it. He happened upon it. The other man was searching for good pearls, and he found it. Jesus used these two parables with his audience to help them see some truths about the kingdom. What did he show them? What do the parables mean? How do they fit into Jesus' description of the kingdom? Well, one thing that we have seen with numerous parables that we've examined in the past of the kingdom, and it fits here as well, Jesus got across to them and wanted them to see that the kingdom was hidden. You see, in that day, most of his audience had a false view of the kingdom. They thought when the kingdom would come, it would come with great pomp and ceremony. The king would be a warrior who would defeat all of their enemies and would elevate the children of Israel to a place of prominence in all of the world, ruling and governing over all things with every other nation, their servants and slaves. And life would be terrific for everyone who was of the kingdom. Jesus wanted them to see, and he repeated it because of their unbelief and because of their misunderstanding, because of their fallacies. He repeatedly told them, ladies and gentlemen, it's hidden. It's not going to come like you expect. That's not going to be the kind of kingdom, and I'm not going to be the kind of a king that will sit on a big throne and that will have all kinds of attendants. My kingdom is within you. It's an internal kingdom. Oh, the day is coming, and he told them that the day would come when he would have that royal throne, when there would be that kingdom, but not at this stage. This was a hidden kingdom. And Jesus wanted them to see the kingdom and to understand it. And so he used these parables again to help them see the kingdom of God is not going to come like you expect. Another thing he wanted them to see about the kingdom is its value. Of great value. When you see the kingdom and when you understand and discover the kingdom, it is like the man who found the treasure in the field and had great joy over the discovery that he made. And it's like the merchant man who went looking for goodly pearls and was searching for them, and he found it, the prize of all prizes. That's my kingdom. My kingdom is like that. It's like that treasure. It's like that great prize, pearl of great price. Another thing he wanted them to see is what it would cost to enter the kingdom. The people of that day thought they would enter the kingdom by birth. All they had to do was be a Jew and they would be in the kingdom. Not so, Jesus said. Not so. And he wanted them to understand the great cost of entering his kingdom. How much did it cost? Everything. 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 What do you own? What do you value of such great value that you refuse to give it up to gain the kingdom of God? How about pride? You know, we are a proud people. That's our nature as human beings. We're proud. I'm proud. I have to deal with it. You have to deal with it. We think we're really pretty good. Yeah, we do. Not in God's eyes. Are you willing to give up your pride? How about your lusts? Are you willing to give up your lusts and your desires that you just have to have? How about your possessions? Are your possessions in the way? Do you hold so tightly onto your possessions and to your things that you refuse to give them up that you might gain the kingdom? Jesus wanted them to see that the kingdom was of such a value that it so vastly surpassed everything that they owned that they would be willing to give up everything that they owned in order to get the thing of greater value. Do you see that? Have you seen the kingdom of God and a fellowship with His Son of such surpassing value that you would give up anything and everything for it? That's the ticket price. That's the price of admission into the kingdom of God. Everything. Well, what makes that of such greater value than what I have that I want to hold on to? Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Have you got an abundant life? Or is it paltry in comparison? Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not like the world gives. It's not that kind of a peace. Oh, my peace is different from what the world will give. Do you know that peace? Children of the kingdom do. How about immortality? We are an older audience. We know very well our mortality, don't we? Our bodies have slowly aged. We don't have the strength we once had. Our minds are still rather active and fertile, but we just can't do it like we used to, can we? We know our mortality. Do we know our mortality? It could be any time, you know. It really could. Jesus said, he that believeth on me shall never die, but shall have eternal life. Have you got eternal life? Does that life of Christ indwell you? Jesus said, "He that loves my Father will love, and will come and take up his abode within him." The presence of God Himself living and dwelling within your life and within my life becomes a reality to those who enter the kingdom. Fellowship with God. No longer at enmity. No longer at a distance. Now knowing God's forgiveness. Now knowing God's justification, being made righteous before Him because of Jesus, His Son. Oh, my friends, I've only mentioned four. Do you see the greater value of the kingdom than what you possess on your own? Are you willing to give up the paltry possessions that you cling to in order that you might enter into the kingdom whose value far exceeds and surpasses what you give up? Jesus wanted His audience, and ultimately you and me, to know that His kingdom and fellowship and knowledge with Him as the King of the kingdom is a far surpassing value of anything and everything that you possess. And that it justifies the radical sacrifice of everything that you own and possess, and everything that there is about you that you hold dear and esteem and value. It is worth giving up all and get the kingdom. See that? Oh, I pray that the Spirit of God will open your eyes to see that. To see the surpassing worth of the kingdom of God, and open your eyes to see the worthlessness of what you have. That's what it is. There was a well-known missionary martyr a number of years ago by the name of Jim Elliot, who wrote a phrase in his journal that has passed down through the ages since his martyrdom. He said this: "He is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." That's the kingdom. Giving up what you cannot keep to gain what you cannot lose. Are you willing to do that? Have you done that? Jesus used two simple stories to illustrate those truths. What difference does it make? What difference does it make a difference? So what, you might say? Why should I listen? Why should I pay attention? Why should I heed the message that Jesus gave in those parables? So what? What difference does it make? It can help us understand the reality of our true condition before God. It can help us understand the surpassing worth and value of the kingdom of Christ. It can help us to see and picture what God demands of us. Jesus Himself said, "He who does not give up everything that he owns to follow me cannot be my disciple." That's the demand. That's the price. Paul, that great apostle who changed the world, God changed the world through his ministry and through his life, said when he looked over his life and his past, and if anyone had reason and cause for boasting, Paul had reason. He called himself a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was at the top of the list of everyone who was the most fastidious about his faith and practice in the Old Testament law. He said, "The righteousness of the law, I have fulfilled it as much as I know it to be." And he looked back after he had met Christ and had become a member through faith in Jesus, a citizen of the kingdom of God. He said, I look back. He said, I count everything loss. Everything that I had is loss. It's worthless. Dung. And have the surpassing greatness of Jesus Christ. That's the difference. That's the so what. What implications do these truths have upon you and me? Hundreds, thousands of years since Jesus taught them by the seashore in Capernaum. For those of us who have trusted Christ, we belong to the kingdom. It was worth it, wasn't it? You have seen the surpassing value of the kingdom. And you gave up all to follow Jesus and to trust Him. You know the value. I trust that as we have reviewed these truths, you have found great comfort and encouragement. And within you, like the first man who saw the treasure in the field, and said, for joy, can't you just picture him feverishly burying that up and looking around, make sure nobody could see it, and running into the city to sell his property and taking that money and going over to the landlord and says, how much you want? I'll buy that field, that one right out there. The joy that he had, yes, that's ours. That's our right as members of the kingdom of Christ, that exuberant joy, comfort, encouragement, strengthening. Oh, our faith gets assailed constantly, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Our world about us and people on television and in the newspaper and neighbors, and they challenge our faith. Is it true? Oh, I pray that the review has solidified in your mind again their truthfulness. And that you have said, yes, it's true. I believe it. And I have found it true in my own experience. I don't know your hearts. As far as I know, none of you may be members of the kingdom, because I can't see your heart. Only God knows that. I've heard some of you give testimony, so based on your testimony and my observation, I conclude that you are a member of the kingdom. Others, I don't know. Are you a member of the kingdom? Have you trusted Christ? God gave him, sent him to become the sacrifice to pay for the penalty that sins of sinners like you and like me deserve. A substitute. You understand a substitute, don't you? Many of us use substitutes in our cooking, don't we? We use substitute sugar. We use substitute salt. We use substitute eggs. We use substitute milk. We understand substitutes, a replacement. Oh, this is a far greater substitute than mere food substitutes. This was the one who took upon himself the punishment that sins of mine and the sins of sinners like you deserve. And he paid the price. It's paid for people like you and me. Jesus simply said, repent and believe. Repent and believe. Turn. Turn from all of those things that you hold dear. Turn from them. Turn from your sinful practices and your sinful desires. Turn from them. Give them up. Believe. Trust me, he said. Whoever trusts and believes on me shall have eternal life. He who does not believe in me shall be condemned. I remember reading a number of years ago the story of a wealthy woman in this vicinity around New York City. She went into town to do some shopping. While she was in town, she noticed this little urchin boy kind of up and down the streets, looking in the windows. She went up to the little boy and come to find out he was an orphan boy all alone. So she took him home. Took him home with her after shopping that day. When she got him home, she noticed something a little unusual about him as she cleaned him up and she put him in the tub and gave him a bath and scrubbed away all of the dirt and everything. She noticed in his one hand he clenched in a... She didn't pay any attention for a while. She continued to clean him and to scrub him and to give attention to him. And then she noticed the hand. So she took her hand and slowly peeled back the fingers, found inside his clenched fist a crust of bread. Here, crust of bread. What are you holding on to so tightly in your fist that you refuse to give it up in order that you might enjoy the kingdom? I call upon you this morning, if you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, God's provision for sinners like you and like me, I call upon you this morning and I urge you, I implore you, peel away the fingers. Get rid of the crust of bread. Trust and believe the only Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ. And you will begin to enjoy the kingdom. Close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for preserving for us through the work of your Holy Spirit these parables that the Lord Jesus taught centuries ago. They still describe your kingdom. They still describe what you demand of us, the sacrifice of everything. Oh, but what we gain so far surpasses anything that we reject and deny and get rid of. It is of such surpassing value. Father, as I prayed earlier, these are truths that I cannot explain. These are truths that I cannot impress upon people's minds to see and to understand. Only you can do that. And I ask you by your Holy Spirit to open their eyes to see the truth. And for those who have never trusted Christ, I ask that you would open their eyes to see their need of Jesus. And that the value of trusting and believing Him so far outweighs everything that they would give up to trust Him. That today they would call upon Him in faith and trust. And Father, I will give to you and to the Lord Jesus and to the Holy Spirit honor, glory, and praise for all that you accomplish in our hearts and lives today. Amen.